Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show, where we talk about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors. And here we are. What a busy day today. Busy day today. First of all, my week was very interesting. Very interesting. After taking care of some things that we needed to take care of on Monday, I got to the Dove Field about, 4:30, something like that, and immediately began missing doves. It was hot. Monday was hot, trust me, Labor Day. Very hot day to stand beside a telephone pole in an open cornfield with the sun beating down on you, and could not, for the life of me, figure out why I couldn't hit a dove. And then I finally did. And it was quite a long shot, and I was pretty amazed that I'd made that shot. And as I walked down to retrieve the dove, I looked at my shotgun, which was a 20-gauge Franke semi-automatic, which I like, affinity. And there was something different about that gun, and it was the choke tube that I had installed right before turkey season, which means that I was shooting an extra full turkey choke out of my little 20-gauge shotgun. So I was a little curious as to why a dove at 25 yards or so would, you know, look like he had been brush burned but didn't come down. And you can imagine, you've got a big tight load of shot headed up into the air and you're not missing by much, and the concussion certainly didn't bring down any birds. But when I finally hit one at a long, long range, I wondered how that happened. It must have been a stray pellet or something like that. Turns out that my choke was incorrect rather than my improved cylinder choke, which spreads the pattern out more at a closer range. So, however, I was successful, and I'll be happy for that. But I didn't have any other choke tubes with me. Had not even given it a thought. It was just one of those rush days. Now, so we worked a little bit this week and got some things done and did a lot of work, behind the scenes as we do. And yesterday, got in a tree stand with Laura, our social media coordinator. I guess we got in the tree stand somewhere close to 4 o'clock, maybe a little before. 5:30, the first deer showed up. Doe and two fawns, 17 yards, no shot. Weren't shooting a doe, waiting for the buck. Knew there were bucks in there. Deer were back and forth. They'd bust out of there for some reason. They weren't spooked too badly, but whatever it was, whether it was our scent, whether we moved, whether we made a noise, I don't know. It doesn't really matter. But at one point, we had over a dozen deer headed our way, hanging out in the woods, walking back and forth, meandering around. Who knows? Just before 7, I heard a deer coming. I looked to the left, and there was at least one. I know there was at least two. There was probably three. And I saw antlers. And I said, "Laura, get ready." I said, "I don't think it's a big one, but get ready anyway." She was to my right. She's the only one with a bow. I was unequipped. The first deer that stepped out was a big, mature, at least 8-point buck, dark chocolate antlers, and he was coming fast. And when he stepped behind the tree, I said, "Laura, draw." She drew. The deer stepped out at 17 yards. He was tucked towards us just slightly. I said, "Wait." He turned broadside. I said, "Go ahead." She shot. The deer was struck. Looked like a good shot to me. The deer reacted in a way I thought it would and bolted off. So we waited a while. We got down. We found a little bit of blood. And it started getting dark, so we didn't find the deer. We called in the reinforcements, and I want to tell you, they showed up. We had 6 guys there with bright flashlights. and we looked, and we found blood every step of the way. And long story short, in 2.5-3 hours of tracking, we didn't find the deer. So we backed out. The fellas are going over there this morning while I'm on the air here, and Laura will be with them. So I expect to get a text here either during the show or shortly afterwards as to what they found. The unfortunate thing is we heard a whole pack of coyotes just across the road from us where we were hunting in Montgomery County. And there was a pack. I mean, it was a pack of coyotes, you know, how they yip and carry on. And so we don't know what will become of the deer. Could we have done it better? I don't think so. We found the arrow. The arrow had been, you know, buried to the fletching. The deer dropped the arrow out, broken off about, well, I don't know, 125 yards or so from where the deer was shot. So, you know, everything was right. It was just one of those scenes. So if you're going bow hunting today, you know, just be careful out there. Watch the tree stand. Make sure you're wearing your safety harness. If it's hot, sticky, you're going to be sweaty. Things are going to slip and slide, you know, that type of thing. But we overcame all that last night in that 90-some degree heat. And after she shot, you know, we spent hours and hours to walking through the woods, through spider webs, and which is not my favorite. And sweating, and I give a lot of credit to, let's see, who was there? JB was there. Puddin was there. Jeff was there. I'm being very thankful to these fellas. Yeti and his son were there. And who else? There was somebody else, and I don't know that person's name. But they put a yeoman's effort into that last night, and we thank them for that. And they'll be back out there this morning, first light, so I expect to hear good things. Now, you know I've been talking. I've tried not to rant, although I'm passionate about the Maryland Hunting Coalition, and I'm passionate about the opposition that we face from the Maryland Horse Council. Well, another letter came out on the 25th of August answering Secretary Gill's letter. It was a 5-page rant, went on the 8th. It was answered on the 19th. All these letters were addressed to the AELR committee. What that means is when a bill is passed, such as the two Sunday hunting bills that were passed this year, Senate Bill 472 and Senate Bill 473, which expanded Sunday hunting in the three western counties. The way it worked was the bill was signed by the governor on May 15th, went into effect July 1st. And there's a procedure that you have to go through. And because of time constraints, perhaps a shortcut was made. But yesterday I received a message from the marketing department and asking for my help. And here's the message. A message from DNR about Sunday hunting in Garrett, Allegheny, Washington, and Frederick counties, four western counties. Dear hunting license holder, we are writing to advise you of a delay in changes to Sunday hunting in Garrett, Allegheny, Washington, and Frederick counties, which were adopted by the Maryland General Assembly during the 2014 session as part of local bills, Senate Bill 472 and Senate Bill 473. While DNR submitted emergency regulations to implement the two bills before the hunting season began on September 5th, a hearing on the emergency regulations has been requested by the Maryland Horse Council. I'll fill in that blank. As a result, DNR is unable to adopt the regulations as proposed and has submitted the regulations through the regular process. These new regulations may not become effective before December 22nd, 2014, which means no Sunday hunting and archery season. And it's not just deer, by the way. It's everything. Small game, deer. Unable to adopt the regulations as proposed and has submitted the regulations through the regular process. These new regulations may not become effective before December 22, 2014. Please make a note of this important change. As the 2014-2015 Guide to Hunting and Trapping printed earlier in the year includes an effective date of September 5th yesterday. Bold print. As it now stands, the following current regulations will remain in place until new final regulations are adopted. An individual may hunt on Sunday if the individual is hunting whitetail or sika deer on private property. On the last three Sundays in October, first two Sundays in November during the deer bow season, and the first Sunday of the deer firearm season in Allegheny, Dorchester, Frederick, Garrett, Talbot, Washington, and Wicomico. If they're 16 years or younger when participating in the junior deer hunt, which is November 16th, on private lands only in Anne Arundel, Allegheny, Calvert, Caroline, Carroll, Cecil, Charles, Dorchester, Frederick, Garrett, Harford, Kent, Montgomery, Queen Anne, Somerset, St. Mary's, Talbot, Washington, Wicomico, and Worcester counties. And any expansion of Sunday hunting in the four western counties has been blocked by the efforts of the Maryland Horse Council. All the more reason for you as a hunter to join the Maryland Hunting Coalition. Easiest way. And the memberships have been coming in all week long for the last 2 weeks. MDHuntingCoalition.org. Go to the join page, fill out the form, and hit submit. You'll get a nice thank you back. We need members. There are 90,000 hunters. There are 25,000 members of the horse community here in Maryland. They are opposed to any expansion of hunting, although they claim that they're not anti-hunting. They just want all the deer killed so that there's no hunters out there anyway to bother them on their precious horseback riding excursions and fox hunting trips. I think what it is they don't want to be seen. They want to be able to ride unencumbered, crossing property lines willy-nilly, wherever they decide that they want to take the trail, or wherever the hounds chase the fox and they pursue. They want the freedom to rule as they would during Sundays. The whole thing about a fear of being shot or gun scaring horses, you know, the argument was made, well, what if we're riding on the neighboring farm and a gun goes off and scares our horse? Tough duck! What happens if we're hunting on the neighboring farm and a horse comes by and spooks the deer we're aiming at? Tough duck. Suck it up. We do. Every single damn day. Hunters get screwed over. Isn't it time we find our two hind legs and stand up on them? Come on, hunters. WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Time for me to tell you first about Chesapeake Outdoors. Yes, indeed. I'm sure they've been busy this week getting people ready for the bow season, and they will continue to do so. Chesapeake Outdoors. If you need a crossbow, Mission, Carbon Express, Barnett, Parker, Excalibur, they have all those brands. You've heard of all of them. Go check them out. See which features you like. The Matthews Solo Cam and Parker Compound Bows. They've got those, too. They've got custom arrows. I bought some the other day there. Crossbow arrows, bow accessories, bow tuning. And, of course, a full selection of waterfowl calls and firearms for dove hunting or waterfowl. They've got that. The ammunition, muzzle loaders and supplies, a great clothing by Drake and Under Armour, Bubba Blade knives, and let's not forget a full selection of fishing tackle, live bait, and crabbing supplies. Chesapeake Outdoors, located on Kent Island. That would be exit 39B on Route 50 East, across the Bay Bridge, Look for the numbers, 39B Dominion Road. That's the road you want. Turn on off the exit, turn to the right there at the red light. You're in the parking lot of Chesapeake Outdoors. 410-604-2500. 410-604-2500. They'll look forward to seeing you. For great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, hey, it's Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, take Route 100 to the end, hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island, go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. Custom-tied bucktails and trolling lures for rockfish, and all you need for any type of fishing, crabbing, and the best fishing report on the Mid-Bay. Fishbones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you'll ever find. Call 410-360-0573, 410-360-0573 for Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. The statewide Doe Harvest Challenge returns. By donating your female deer, you could feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. Now you could win a $500 gift card from Bass Pro Shops. Maryland is divided into three regions with 20 chances to win in each region, plus junior hunt days drawings. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor listed in your hunting guide and fill out the entry card. That's it. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons. The 2014 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soybean Board, Bass Pro Shops, the Farm Bureau, and Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit FHFH.org. This is Alan Ellis for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, spray-on bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners, with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface, is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer, blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner from Catonsville Linex or Bay Linex of Glen Burnie. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie's new location is 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Don't miss Les Consulting's Uninhibited Radio, now on Sunday nights at 10. On Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Filling coolers, loading up a weather beam mag. Marty Robbins turned up. Hey, boys, I'm getting nervous. My knees are getting weak. I can almost see them coming out of them trees. Big bulls, big bucks, mountains. Trucks hunting all day just to catch a glimpse of big bulls, big bucks.
Yeah. I tell you what, when that buck stepped out last night, he was impressive. The one behind him was impressive as well. Another 8-point with a big, tall, white rack. But this guy, we'll find him today. They'll find him today. Well, the coyotes may get him. And we've accepted that possibility that the coyotes may get them, you know. So who knows what'll be left. I tell you though, unfortunately, when you leave a deer in the woods in 80 degree weather, even if it cools down to 70 degrees, the meat's not worthwhile. Unfortunately, you know, we'd love to recover that deer, but with that body heat not being able to dissipate. It's highly unlikely that deer will be usable for meat, unfortunately. That's hunting, unfortunately. Now, talking about this suspension in the regulations for Western Maryland a little bit, you know, that expanded hunting greatly expanded hunting. in the four western counties, and it was opposed by, from the beginning, by the Horse Council. But the General Assembly, in their wisdom, actually passed that bill. The governor signed it into law. So what's the problem? The problem was procedural. Procedural. It all stems from having to print the regulations in the rule book so people could understand it before the actual rule was placed on the Maryland Register. Placed on the Maryland Register in time for the comment period. Well, what happened was the rule book was, the deadline happened right as the law was passed and signed by the governor on May 15th. The book has to be out on July 1st. The regulations didn't go into effect until July 1st. So the procedure from getting them to the governor's desk to the Maryland Register required a comment period. They missed the deadline. When they missed the deadline, I believe this is how this happened, being explained to me, and, you know, procedures in Annapolis don't, well, I'm learning them, let's put it that way. So they couldn't put the regulation on the Maryland Register until after it went into effect, which was after the book was already printed. So when that happened, they had to cause it to be an emergency regulation, which has less of a comment period. Well, the General Assembly's out of session. You have pro-horse council forces as members, as leadership on the AELR committee. So they couldn't call the AELR committee together to get a quorum because they were getting resistance from the pro-horse leader in the AELR committee. Therefore, the process wasn't followed through. Emergency regulation was called for, which requires less of a comment period, from my understanding. And they were being fought tooth and nail by the Horse Council every step of the way, with, in my opinion, assistance from the pro-Horse Council member of the AELR committee. And I did say, in my opinion. So, we got tagged, hammered by the Maryland Horse Council on a technicality, and the hunters in Western Maryland, the four western counties, lost tremendous amount of hunting opportunities for and deer management opportunities, quite frankly. So, so now the kids that are involved in sports this fall have to take Saturday and do their sports. And guess what? Sundays aren't available. Sorry, kids. Sorry, Mom. Sorry, Dad. Sorry, Grandpa. Sorry, Uncle Ned. Horse Council said to the citizens of Western Maryland, the hunters of Western Maryland, we don't ride our horses out there in Western Maryland too much, but screw you anyway. Why am I passionate about the Maryland Hunting Coalition? Because I see the potential for the Maryland Hunting Coalition. I see the inequities that are done to hunters in the state of Maryland by people like the Maryland Horse Council and others. Am I ranting? No. I'm very calm. I'm very collected. Now, here's an interesting dilemma. The leadership of some of those Western Maryland hunting, let me put it this way, the leadership of some of those Western Maryland organized sportsmen's clubs are the ones that seem to be resisting the Maryland Hunting Coalition. And I don't know where you live, and I don't know what your politics are. And I don't really, quite frankly, care what your politics are. But I know this. From a hunter's point of view, they want to do their thing. Wherever they have permission to hunt, they want to do what they want to do. They want to put their tree stands up. They want to hunt. They want to get some deer. They want to shut up and go home. I get it. That's what I want to do. But guess what? The seat of power in Maryland... The seat of power is not in Washington or Allegheny or Garrett County, not even Frederick and Carroll County. The seat of power in Maryland is in Annapolis. And the party that's in control right now is the party that's in control. And that particular party doesn't bode well in Frederick, Carroll, Washington, Garrett, and Allegheny counties. Or necessarily the three southern Maryland counties, or the upper shore, or the lower shore. You know what I'm saying. The seat of power and the party in power, it's all in Annapolis. So have your little party out there in the hinterlands in rural Maryland and support your local politician 100% and send them to Annapolis. But as hunters, we have to realize where the center of power is, right here in the General Assembly for 90 days. And we have to have somebody there to stand up for us. And that is why I'm touting the Maryland Hunting Coalition. And I'm not, listen, I benefit no way, no how from the Maryland Hunting Coalition. Okay? I don't take a salary. None of the directors take a salary. None of the directors take anything from the Maryland Hunting Coalition. All the money goes to sustain the enterprise and to go towards our efforts of advocacy in Annapolis and outreach to hunters. Information, action, advocacy. So I simply invite you to join us. That's all. I'm tired of getting stomped on as a hunter just because I like to hunt. Tired of it. Let's change tracks a little bit. You're welcome to comment, by the way. 410-922-6680, 1-800-922-6680. Got a nice letter from our buddy. Let me find it here. I don't want to say his name wrong. Where is it? There he is. Looking on the email. Steve Vilnet is going to be coming on at 6 o'clock. We're going to be talking about Maryland seafood. Vince from Chestertown sent me a nice letter from Keep America Fishing regarding striped bass. Number of things happening with striped bass, as I've let you know in the past. Let me find my most recent message from fisheries. Let's see. Okay. Here we go. Department of Natural Resources is going to have an informational meeting on striped bass here in Maryland, the Department of Natural Resources Fisheries Service. It'll be Thursday, the 18th of September, at the Anne Arundel Community College from 6 to 9 p.m. Thursday, September 18th, Anne Arundel Community College from 6 to 9 p.m. Objective is to better inform Maryland's fishing constituents, that's you, fishermen, on the science, management options, and nuances of the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission draft addendum, which is what Vince's letter addresses. Presentation will be provided on the science and management. The chair of the Sport Fish Advisory Commission and the Tidal Fish Advisory Commission will be provided an opportunity to provide their perspectives. And then there will be an opportunity for meeting attendees to talk to scientists, managers, and stakeholders. Folks attending this meeting will be better positioned to understand and provide comments on the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries proposed management changes to the striped bass fishery here in Maryland. Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission will hold a public hearing in Maryland on 9/25. Got those two dates? 9/18, 9/25. Ah, let's talk to Hunter in Towson. Good morning, Hunter. How are you?
Good morning. I still like your show, and I just wondered about something.
Go ahead.
The ones that are blocking what you want, the horsemen, right?
Yes.
How much, as far as money, do they contribute?
Well, let's put it this way. We have 90,000 hunters who purchase hunting licenses and stamps, which average between $50 and $70 each every year.
Yeah.
That's general fund money for wildlife and heritage, not general fund Maryland money. That's hunting license money that runs wildlife and heritage.
Right.
Okay? Then there is what's called the American System of Conservation Funding, which is an excise tax. It's been around for, 75 years. There's an 11% excise tax on firearms purchased, ammunition purchased, archery tackle purchased.
Yeah.
All right? That's paid by the manufacturer to the Internal Revenue Service, and then by a formula from the Fish and Wildlife Service sent back to the states.
Yeah.
All right? And that's based on licenses. So I think last year, I think we wound up with something like another $6 million. But those funds can't be used for salaries or anything like that. They can only be used for hunter education, purchasing property, and things like that. See, the wildlife management areas in Maryland and many other places, public hunting areas, were purchased with what are called Pittman-Robertson Act the wildlife funds, basically, from the federal government. We've paid them. In other words, when I buy a shotgun, 11% excise tax that has been paid for by the manufacturer has been built into the price. So when I buy a shotgun from Clyde's has paid the 11% excise tax. I've paid the 11% excise tax. The manufacturer's paid the 11% excise tax. So the answer is, what does the horse community contribute? Not a damn thing.
That's what I mean. Shouldn't they mention
not
that
a damn
bit?
Thing. That's what they contribute. They got a little money for trails here and there on trails that they ride on public land. You know, they got a little fee for that. The horse industry in Maryland, I found out, is financed. Listen to this: the manufacturers of horse feed, Southern States and Purina, and you name it, for every ton of horse feed that is sold in Maryland, the manufacturer pays a 6% bounty to the Department of Agriculture that goes to the horse industry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but what do they contribute to wildlife? What do they contribute to public lands? Nothing.
That's what I mean.
And the bulk of this hunting, this Sunday hunting, is done on private land. So they're telling Farmer Joe over here in whatever county that if he leases his farm to a bunch of hunters for X number of dollars, based on the fact that they can also hunt on Sundays, well, you know what? It's tough duck.
Mm-hmm.
Tough duck. Now your lease is worth less. Okay?
Yeah.
And as I mentioned, the kids and the other opportunities that are available on Sundays, I think it's wrong. And I don't think one group of 25,000 should dictate what a group of 90,000 has. A group of 90,000 that, for the most part, has passed a hunter safety education course,
mm-hmm.
and has to have written permission to hunt on private property, and has to carry a photo ID with them. So you've got to take a course, you've got to pay a license,
mm-hmm.
you've got to obtain written permission, and sometimes you've got to participate in a lease.
Mm-hmm.
But they can ride willy-nilly wherever the hell they want.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You understand why I'm passionate about this?
Well, I didn't know anything about the breakdown, but it seemed to me that maybe bringing up the money, how much the hunters contribute to that.
Deer season in Maryland is $221 million. That's what goes deer season.
That's a lot of money.
That's what goes into the economy of Maryland.
Yeah, I say that's a lot of money.
That's correct. $221 million just for deer season.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Well, I still like your show.
Well, thank you.
I can't watch it all the time and not as long, but...
That's all right, buddy. We appreciate you calling in whenever you can.
I always learn something new. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Gunther. Have a good day. Bye-bye. There he goes. Edna in Baltimore. Good morning, Edna. How are you? Hello, Edna.
Here.
Yes, dear. How can I help you?
Yes, I got a telephone call Thursday doing a fishing survey.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you knew anything about it or if it was just somebody doing on it.
Who did they identify themselves as?
They didn't. They asked me how many times a year I went fishing. I told them not. I'm a senior citizen as a kid. And
did you ever have a fishing license?
Never had a fishing license.
No, that was...
My husband got one, and he fished, and I diddled around with him.
Well, Edna, I think I'd discount that and be very cautious. Do you have caller ID?
No.
I think I'd get it on your telephone.
They didn't ask me nothing personal. How many people was in my house and if this was Baltimore City?
I'll check on that. I will check on that. And I'll let the folks know next week, okay?
Okay. I listen every Saturday morning, so.
Thank you, Edna. That's my aunt's name is Edna. Only we call her Toots.
Okay.
And that was my ex-mother-in-law's name too. So you have a fine name, Edna. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye. There we go. John in Herlock. Good morning, John. How are you?
Happy to be here.
Yes, sir. What's up?
Downtown Herlock, Eastern Shore.
I know where Herlock is. Absolutely.
Late last year, I telephoned in the same call, and you asked that I give a call back at the beginning of the season where it might do some good.
What was the call?
On a weekend, presumably a Saturday, I pulled into a well-named, they don't need my advertisement, restaurant out on Route 15.
Yeah.
And there was eight, and then
you told me about that. Yes, yes. Yes, I remember this call. Go ahead.
A deck extended off of the towing bar.
Right.
It was a deer.
Yes.
And the car was parked up close to the entrance.
Yes.
And a little bit of common courtesy would have dictated, put it out on the perimeter.
Cover the deer up.
And I have been G2ing this thing. It's been mulling over for 12 months.
Yep.
10 months, let's not exaggerate. The feet were missing off that deer.
That's insane.
And I couldn't for the life of me figure out, and I think I know what happened, and it's still every bit as wrong. They did not have that deer secure, and when they took it out of the forest and into the city, those hoofs drug on the road.
Right.
And eroded away.
Right.
And that deer and everything else out there deserve a whole lot better.
Whole lot more respect than that, don't they?
I can't think of any other reason for those hoofs to have been removed off of that deer.
That's awful. That's awful, John. Are you yourself a hunter, John?
Yes, I am.
Yep, and you wouldn't treat an animal like that with that lack of respect, would you?
I am now retired, 39 years, an Army Special Forces medic.
Right.
And we do a lot of veterinary medicine.
Sure.
And every one of the animals, they're my patients.
Sure.
And I treat them with the same courtesy and respect that I would a human patient.
Thank you, John.
Anything less is unacceptable.
Gotcha.
I hope I sound passionate and not bitter.
No, you do sound passionate and not bitter, and that's the intonation that I like to put out there is passion, not necessarily anger. Sometimes I do get angry, but it is because I'm passionate about the things that I talk about, and I can understand where you're coming from with this. You did not like the respect that was shown to that animal.
And it was preventable.
And very preventable. So I will put this out to hunters. Not everybody likes to see your blood sport, boys and girls. What they like to do is to congratulate you when you've been successful, but they don't necessarily like to see all the blood. So cover the deer up if it's on the back of your truck. You know, if it's in the back of your truck, that's one thing. That's a little bit more respectful than on one of those carriers dragging the thing on Route 50. How's that, John?
You'll get no argument from me.
All right, brother. Appreciate the call.
Out here.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Carl Lockraven. Good morning, Carl. How you doing?
How you doing, Mr. Ellis?
Good, buddy.
Long time since I talked to you.
Yeah, man. How you been?
Busy with work. And I usually working on Saturdays, but I got this Saturday off because of the opening of bow season, so.
Sure. Well, you're headed out to the woods then, huh?
Yep, I saw several last night. I had three of them, but just too much brush sitting in the wrong place on the ground. So.
Yeah, we had deer all over us last night. I'm telling you, it was a good night. So,
yeah.
Well, Carl, buddy, how's your dad doing?
He's doing good. He's got eyeballs again. He got glasses the other day.
Well, that's good.
Lord help if he can see again.
That's always a good thing. All right. Well, Carl, I appreciate that. Good luck to you today. I know you're anxious to get in there before daylight, so get her going.
Yeah, I'm getting there.
All right.
Like I said, I want to give you a call, and I've picked up a copy of your fall edition, and I saw about that wanting waste someone on the crop damage from it shooting all them deer and just leaving on the waste.
So yep.
I fortunately got put on a crop damage from it on a farm I got fishing to hunt last year, and unfortunately ain't been out to go, and that just burns me up.
Yes, it does.
I'm a man that hunts for meat mainly, and here seeing someone waste all that meat that could have fed a hungry child somewhere or, you know, fed
that's right.
family, and it just disgusts me.
Yep, I agree. Carl,
and we all just feel awful.
That's a good question, buddy. That is a very good question. Carl, I look forward to seeing your membership in the Maryland Hunting Coalition.
Yep, I'm going to do my best. I've got to see what the bills allow me to do.
Well, the membership is free.
Oh, okay. Well, see, I ain't talking in forever.
Well, just read that first 10 pages of that magazine, go online, and sign up. No charge.
I think I'll do that.
All right, buddy. Thanks, Carl.
All right, Carl. When I come out for lunch.
All right. See you later, buddy. Thanks.
All right.
Bye-bye.
See you.
There he goes. All right. Clyde Sports Shop. I was there last Saturday. Met Preacher Russ and met the Chuck from Cotobo and Mineral Bob Warden. Clyde and Bill were there. I picked up my shotgun with my new Leopold scope on it. I am very happy with the work that they do on their gunsmithing, and you will be too. You know, don't forget, Clyde Sports Shop has a full line of firearms for home protection, for hunting. They got the great Browning firearms, the new A5 with a 10,000 round or 5-year guarantee. They've got the new X Bolt from Browning for high powered rifles. They've got all the shotguns and handguns, you name it. They've got other brands too. They were showing a guy a new one of the new Savage slug guns. It's pretty impressive to me. So all of that, and including anything you need for fishing and crabbing, can be seen at Clyde Sports Shop, including live bait. 410-242-6108. Clyde's is located at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road, by the way, in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. 242-6108, 242-6108, or the fishing hotline, 247-3474, 247-FISH. This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface, is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner from Bay Linex of Glen Burnie or Catonsville Linex. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, new location, 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Congratulations, Buck Bomb, on your 10th anniversary. Now, Buck Bomb products attract deer and improve your odds. Ambush is an all-season deer scent that comes in a larger can that gives you 33% more Buck Bomb for the same low price. Use it on every hunt. The Cornholer. It's a corn-based attractant that screws into the ground. Deer have to paw and gnaw to get it. Also comes in Sugar Beet Smash. Funny name, serious results. Pathfinder is an invisible spray except to your flashlight. You spray it on trees to mark your trail under your stand. You can't see it in the daylight, so no one can find your favorite spot except you. Deer Domination, an attractant that could be added to feeders, corn, or whatever you're feeding. Deer Domination Ration helps bring more deer to your site. Visit your local Buck Bomb retailer, order online at buckbomb.com, or call 1-866-850-6653. The Buck Bomb blows away traditional scent products. Hunt smart, increase your odds
with the Buck Box.
Hunters, you could win a $500 gift card from Bass Pro Shops in the statewide Doe Harvest Challenge. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons. Maryland is divided into three regions with 20 chances to win in each region plus junior hunt days drawings. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor listed in your hunting guide and fill out the entry card. That's it. By donating your doe, you feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. The 2014 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soybean Board, Bass Pro Shops, the Farm Bureau, and Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit FHFH.org. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
This is Mark Levin inviting you to join me every weeknight from 7 to 9 with the most powerful names in talk, Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring. Bound by wild desire, I fell into a ring of fire.
All right.
I fell into a
Goodbye, Johnny.
Ring of
Got
fire.
Too much to talk about.
Down.
All right, so we were talking about striped bass. Striped bass, there are going to be some changes, as we mentioned, and we've been talking about it briefly over the last few weeks and over the last year or so. So Keep America Fishing is informing all their members about the public meetings. And if you'd like to go to a public meeting on striped bass in Delaware, you're welcome to do that. That's on September 11th. That's next Thursday, I believe, 6 to 8 p.m. in the Den Rec Auditorium, 889 Kings Highway in Dover. And John Clark is your contact there, 302-739-9914. In Maryland, the meeting is on September 25th. It's at the Cadby Theater, Kent Humanities Building, and Chesapeake College. That's 1000 College Circle, Y Mills. Mike Luisi is our fisheries contact there, 410-260-8341. There are two meetings in Massachusetts, one in Pennsylvania, one in Rhode Island, two in New Jersey, two in New York, one in North Carolina, and two in Virginia. For those of you who are interested in going to Newport News or Colonial Beach, you're welcome to call us and ask locations there. Or just call me and say, where can I go to the striped bass meeting in Maryland? The first meeting is on the 18th, and that is in, let me find my text. That has not been announced yet, by the way. You're getting the first announcement of that. Let's see. Oh, the Anne Arundel Community College from 6 to 9 p.m., 9:18. Better inform Maryland fishing constituents on the science, management, options, and nuances of the ASMFC draft addendum. There's a lot to this, by the way. there's a lot to this. You know, our spring fisheries, a lot of male fish. The coastal fisheries, a lot of female fish. And then there's the coastal commercial fishery. There's the Chesapeake Bay fishery. A lot of moving parts on striped bass management. Of course, it is a coast-wide fishery from, you know, North Carolina all the way up to New England. So very informative meetings coming up, sponsored by the Department of Natural Resources on the 18th at Anne Arundel Community College. And again on the 25th at Chesapeake College. Those are two striped bass meetings dealing with new management strategies from Department of Natural Resources here in Maryland and the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission. One more note. It's birthing season for copperheads. This comes from the Washington Post. Female copperheads are now giving birth to their young throughout September. Each mother gives birth to 8 or 10 babies at once. Maryland Department of Natural Resources ecologist Scott Smith said only 10 to 25% of those baby snakes will live through the winter. The baby snakes lack muscle control, so if they bite a victim, they're more likely to release all their venom. Adult copperheads tend to release only the amount of venom necessary to incapacitate their normal prey, moles and voles. Copperhead bites are dangerous, deforming, I will add, but rarely fatal. Just so you know, that's the way to go out. Now get out, stay safe. Steve Vilnet, Maryland Seafood, coming up next. Thanks for joining the Maryland Hunting Coalition.
The statewide Doe Harvest Challenge returns. By donating your female deer, you could feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. Now you could win a $500 gift card from Bass Pro Shops. Maryland is divided into three regions with 20 chances to win in each region, plus junior hunt days drawings. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor listed in your hunting guide and fill out the entry.